Today is the 22nd of December 2017, and you've joined us for the evening service of the Pineville House Church. And it's been really interesting to see how many people have gone to certain messages, what people are interested in today. It's really interesting. You know, you can go and look at the counters and see where people are going. But one thing, I just posted this on Facebook. If you're looking, here's what I posted. If you're looking for the acceptance of a man, you're looking in the wrong direction. You're looking for the acceptance of a man. You're looking in the wrong direction. David said, I will look unto the hills from which cometh my strength. My strength cometh from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Okay, do we have the first election that we have had a request for is in the old school hymnal, page 188. Mark is requesting 188. I'm in perfect agreement with a statement Michael Smith made on his Sovereign Grace Baptist Facebook page. God is the head of the church. I do agree with that. And the church is much different than a lot of people have it defined as. It's not just a brick and mortar building. But anyway, I want to encourage Brother Michael Smith to keep on keeping on. God has not promised skies always blue, flower-strewn pathway all our lives through. God has not promised sun without rain, peace without sorrow, joy without pain. But God has promised strength as our day, rest when we labor, light on the way, grace for our trials, help from above, unfading kindness, undying love. Though we have mingled sunshine and rain, clouds decked with rainbows, joys mixed with pain, let us still trust His mercies right on, and sing His praises all the day long. Okay, we have a selection that's been requested. Psalm 135b, page 60 in the Psalter. Rosette has requested this. Page 60, 135b. Hallelujah, praise the Lord's name. Praise Him, servants of the Lord. You that in the Lord's house serve Him, in God's courtyard standing guard. Praise the Lord, how good the Lord is. Sing His name, how sweet His throne. For the Lord has chosen Jacob, Israel, to be His own. Well, I know how great the Lord is. Our Lord is above all gods. For the Lord does what He pleases in all heaven, earth, and floods. It is who lifts the vapors from the ends of earth and sea, who with lightning brings the rain down from his throne, the wind sets free. He drew all of Egypt's firstborn, all your Egypt's wonders sent, signs to Pharaoh and his servants, who through kings their kingdoms rent. Mighty Sion, Og of Bashan, then the kings of Canaan fell. God their land gave to his people, willed it all to Israel. A lot of people think that means the Holy Land. It doesn't mean the Holy Land. Not today, anyway. What it means today is the spiritual land for all who are circumcised of heart. Peter says that he has reserved in heaven for you. Reserved in heaven for you are kept by the power of God. Okay, let's sing 404 before we go over to the other part of our service from the old school hymnal. 404. The Lord is my light. The Lord is my light and my joy every day. He leads me in righteous paths all of the way. I follow him trusting and hold to his hand. I hope he will take me to heaven's fair land. The Lord is the light of my soul. I live in his blessed control. His love keeps me singing as onward I go. The joy of salvation is mine. I praise him with heart and with voice, because in his love I rejoice. Oh, he is the one blessed light of my soul, this wonderful Savior divine. He leadeth by waters so quiet and still. His soul with his goodness each day he doth fill. My cup runneth over with blessings divine. His love is my story, his goodness is mine. I walk in this light as I travel along. He fills me each moment with jubilant song. I talk with him often, and sweet is his voice. In this blessed Savior my soul shall rejoice. The Lord is the light of my soul. I live in his blessed control. His love keeps me singing as onward I go. The joy of salvation is mine. I praise him with heart and with voice, because in his love I rejoice. Oh, he is the one blessed light of my soul, this wonderful Savior divine. Well, before I get started, I want to remind everybody we're going to be having a talk show program tomorrow night. The Lord being in the matter, of course, at 7:30 Central Time. And if you want to find that program, all you have to do is go to any search engine and put in Talk Shoe and then the word election. And you click on that and it'll take you to the information how to get into the program, including the ID number, which is 140414. And the phone number is there listed, as well as you can put in your ID number as a guest of £1. Well, we're living in some very, very exciting and unusual times. We can see that our, as we go through our daily lives, we can see things aren't the way they used to be, are they? Things have changed a lot.
I was thinking, my wife was sharing with me that she was in a Walmart, and the cashier was encouraging people to use the little self-checkout stand. When I was commenting to my wife, what the gal didn't even have enough sense to know is she was working herself out of a job by encouraging people to use the self-checkout stand. Robotics have had a big impact upon our economy, on our society, on our labor force, and everything else. And anyway, I've kind of been on a rant that people say, I don't want to hear. I had a fellow tell me one time, I don't want to hear you rant. I won't mention who it was that said that. Someone in the family. Relative. Anyway. But the reason that I'm, I guess, doing this, I feel like it's where God is leading me. And also, it seems like it's relevant to what's going on right now in our society. I believe in God's grace. I believe in the love of Christ. I believe in election and predestination. I believe in the sovereign grace of God. I believe all things work together for him, for them to love the Lord, and them are called according to his purpose, and so on. But there's another, it's like Paul Harvey used to say, there's the rest of the story, okay? There's the other side of the coin. You have heads and you have tails, okay? You have Esau's and you have Jacob, you know? And a lot of people don't think there are any Esau's out there. They think they're all Jacob's. And that's almost like as bad as unity, which denies evil. Well, I want to look at the 23rd chapter of Matthew. Now, this is before, you know, the disciples came to Christ and asked him what would be the sign of his coming. This is before then. And he says, in the 23rd chapter of the book of Matthew, we're going to read through some of these verses. I'm just going to make some comments about them. And, you know, the good Lord can lead, guide, direct our thoughts. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Think about that. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to take the place. They're trying to sit in Moses' seat. Replacement theology. They accuse us of replacement theology. What are they doing? All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe that, observe and do, but do ye not after their works, where they say and do not. Ever heard the saying, do as I say, not as I do? There's a lot of people out there like that. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and they lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. Christ was pretty articulate, was he not? But all their works they do to be seen of men. Wow, that's, you know, what we've seen the last 48 hours. This speaks very strongly, doesn't it? I was thinking of all those limousines and all those red and blue lights on all those cars. I wonder how much money was spent on that inauguration. It had to be probably several million dollars. All their works they do to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments. Have you ever noticed how the same people end up in the chief seats and the councils and the synagogues every time there's one of these big to be seen of men? It's usually somebody represented in the Billy Graham Association, Billy Graham family, Franklin Graham, or Billy Graham. And then you usually have some highfalutin charismatic like Paula White. And then you got to have the representation of the Roman Catholic Church and the cardinal. And then you got to have the Jews. You got to have a rabbi from the Jews represented. And meetings in the markets to be called of men rabbi. Rabbi. We had one of those 2 days ago. We saw rabbi, didn't we? But be not, and I know people say, oh, Larry, we've heard you talk about this before. Can't you try something new? Well, you know, I feel like I'm going to go over this again. But be not ye called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all your brethren. Call no man your father upon earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. What about Holy Father? What about Father Francis? Yeah. Neither be ye called masters. What about Master's College? Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. But woe, 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 woe. Woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore you shall receive a greater damnation. Woe! You know, why did Christ give all of these woes to the scribes and the Pharisees? If you count the number of woes in here, you're going to find 1, 2, 3, 4... I see 5, 6, 7, 8. I see at least 8 woes. You know, that's not good. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass sea and land. You know, I was thinking about our, you know, all those presidential planes. They compass sea and land, don't they? To make one proselyte, when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Remember when Kenneth Copeland was bragging about getting his new jet? And what about Creflo Dollar raising all the money for his jet to fly around all over the place? And what about Benny Hinn and his jet? Of course, Trump has his own jet. Hillary had her own plane, jet flying around all over the place. Woe unto ye blind guides, which say, whoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing, but whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he's a debtor. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifieth the gold? And whosoever shall swear by the altar, it is nothing, but whosoever sweareth by the gift that is on it, he is guilty to. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater the gift or the altar that sanctifieth the gift? Whosoever therefore shall swear by the altar sweareth by it and by all things therein. And whosoever shall swear by the temple sweareth by it and by him that dwelleth therein. A lot of people want to rebuild that temple over there. You know, and he that shall swear by heaven sweareth by the throne of God and by him that sitteth thereon. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin. Ye have committed the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye have to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. I've heard people say, man, wasn't Jesus kind of hard on the scribes and the Pharisees? Well, the scribes and Pharisees were kind of hard on all the people. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, for you make clean the outside of the cup of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess, thou blind Pharisees. Cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Wasn't Jesus a little intolerant here? Was he showing unconditional love to these people? Thou blind Pharisees, cleanse first that which is within the cup and the platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but ye are within full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Woe, so ye also appear outwardly righteous unto men. You know, people actually believe that what they wear makes them appear righteous. Can you imagine that? Benny Hinn likes to wear all those white suits, doesn't he? And the Pope likes to wear his long flowing gowns. And the cardinals like to come out in their purple and scarlet. Even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because ye build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous. You know, a lot of people are putting a lot of fancy gravestones up, aren't they? Amount of money people spend when somebody dies is idolatry in and of itself. And say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Well, wherefore ye be witnesses unto yourselves that ye are the children of them which kill the prophets. Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers, ye serpents, and ye generations of vipers. How can you escape the damnation of hell? Wherefore, I send you and the prophets and wise men and scribes. And he says that they're going to be killed and crucified, and some of them will scourge you in your synagogues and persecute you from city to city. Well, now, I'm going to just stop there and make some comments about this. How can we apply Christ's woe to the scribes and Pharisees to today? How can we apply it to today? If Christ were down here today, who would he be giving woes to? I can tell you who he would be giving woes to. That's not a really difficult puzzle. He would be giving woes to the same people, the same children of the people, that he was given woes to back 2,000 years ago. He would be giving woes to those who are seated in the synagogues, who are seated in the councils, the chief priests, and the Pharisees. There are Pharisees today. There's, you know, those that are in the high seats of jury. He also would be giving woes unto those who are in mega churches. He would also be giving woes to those who have masters of divinities degrees and doctors of divinities degrees and love the chief places in the churches. They like to be up in the pulpits. They like to wear their fancy clothes and be seen of men for their long prayers. Hasn't changed. He would be giving woes to those also who are politically correct in our culture, say all the right things, very pious acting, and always have the accolades of men, the approval of men, the nod of men, whether you're talking about Dr. James Dobson or Dr. Billy Graham. A lot of these people have passed on. Dr. Bill Bright, Dr. Adrian Rogers, Dr. Robert Shuler, and Dr. I don't know if, I think some of these people are probably close to dying. Billy Graham's not young by any stretch of the imagination. Okay? And Dr. James Dobson's not real young either. But they've gotten the approval and accolades of millions of people. Dr. Jerry Falwell, the moral majority. Dr. Sperry Schaefer, dispensationalist. Dr. Wayne House. Dr. Schofield didn't even have a doctorate degree, but wanted everybody to think he did, so he called himself a doctor. Darby, Finney, Charles Finney, William Booth of the Salvation Army, Moody, Dwight L. Moody, dispensationalist. These people loved the accolades. They liked to have colleges called Master's College. Master, although man, master. They liked to have seminaries where they can issue death certificates to all of the people that come to their seminary. But they have to go there 3 or 4 years to get their death certificate so they can go out and preach death to those that are in their congregations. People say, well, you're being awful facetious. No. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Woe unto you. It's all about elitism. It's all about who can outflank someone else. It's all about going to preachers' seminars, preaching to preachers, preachers, preachers. It's all about who can get the high place in the church. Who has the title of elder or senior elder or teaching elder or bishop or doctor of divinity or PhD or degree in philosophical studies of religion, and on and on and on. This is those who Christ would be pointing out if he were down here today. You know? And so we say, well, what's the answer to all of this? Well, the answer is, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. Those who are promoting false doctrine, come out from among them. If they're preaching all this false doctrine about dispensational theology and how the Jews are God's chosen people, and while at the same time they're cursing his name, if they're preaching Arminian theology and free will, they're preaching going back in and hobnobbing with the Roman Catholic Church, if they are like Chuck Colson, trying to do agreements with evangelicals and Catholics together, if they're out telling people that there's no need to preach to Roman Catholics because they're Christians, Or if you're a John Hagee and you're telling the Jews that they don't have to believe in the Messiah because they're God's chosen people. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites. Woe. If you're out telling people that, you know, if you were baptized as a little baby, your parents brought you into the kingdom of God, and that was sacred water. If you're holding on to idolatry in any form, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Jesus Christ is the one that came to this world. He's the one that laid his life down. He's the one who said, come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly. Christ walked the sandy trails of this earth in sandals. He did not have any jet planes. He didn't have any $500 suits. Oh, but he had a purple robe, people say. They divided it and all of this. He had no place to lay his head. He was born in a manger. He was wrapped in swaddling clothes. He had no place to lay his head. That's what the scripture says. He traveled from town to town. And you know what? How did he go into Jerusalem? In a chariot? No, on a lowly donkey. A lowly donkey. And how did he complete his life? Had he built up a large bank account? And was he driving around in a chariot? No, his life ended on a cruel tree, where he was killed, and a spear went through his side. A crown of thorns was placed on his head, and he was whipped beyond recognition. There is no beauty that we should desire him. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites. I go driving around and I see these huge buildings. Doesn't matter what's on the outside of it. United Methodist churches all over this land. Huge multi-million dollar buildings. First Baptist churches all over this land. Multi-million dollar buildings. Roman Catholic churches all over this land. Multi-million dollar buildings. Nazarene churches all over this land. Hundreds of thousands of dollars buildings. Assembly of God churches all over this land. Multi-million dollar buildings. You know, do you not think that the people that are behind this are not going to have to answer to God Almighty for this idolatry? Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites. Well, that's my thoughts today. You can take this and you can laugh and scoff at it, or you can measure it by what Christ said. Woe unto you. Eight woes is what he gave them. Do we have a final selection? Okay, old school hymnal, page 285, My Savior's Love. 285. I know I've been kind of maybe a little bit cynical. I need a hymnal. I don't seem to have one. Anyway, But, you know, just being honest, that's what I'm trying to be, is honest. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner redeemed and clean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. For me it was in the garden he prayed, not my will but thine. He had no tears for his own grief, but sweat drops of blood for mine. In pity angels beheld him, and came from the world of lights, to comfort him in the sorrows he bore for my soul at night. He took my sins and my sorrows, he made them his very own. He bore the burdens to Calvary, and suffered and died alone. When with the ransoming glory his face I at last shall see, 'twill be my joy through the ages to sing of his love for me. How marvelous, so how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. Oh, how marvelous, so how wonderful is my Savior's love to me.